One thing that we didn't mention earlier is that for parents, if you've registered your family and registered your kids online, you can go ahead today and pick up your t-shirts at the table that's right over here, and that'll save time not having to get that on Wednesday night, so your kid can already have the shirts and wear those Wednesday. In the month of June, our Sunday sermons, along with the theme of Family Matters, whereas Wednesday nights we're focusing on parenting, on Sundays we'll be focusing on marriage and some principles to help strengthen our marriages, and they all have the theme of the word with. Next week we're going to actually talk about not with, because while time together with our spouses is important, it's also important how we spend our time when we're not with them, and focus on how to make your spouse feel protected and connected by the way you spend your time when you're not together. The following week is Feel With, it's about dealing with our own inner life so that we can help our spouse to feel respected and loved. And then Switch With is going to talk about treating your spouse as more valuable than yourself rather than following the cultural impulse to take care of yourself and put yourself first. We're going to talk about having fun with, and because we knew we were having FX Live and I only have a few minutes, I'm going to remind us of a sermon that I did on Valentine's Day about having serious fun. And it's about enjoying life together with your spouse. And it's our desire that we would learn or be reminded that marriage can be enjoyed. You know, we can have fun time together, we can unwind and relax without stress all the time, conflict all the time, or unmet expectations all the time. In fact, it's really necessary to have fun together. It's serious business. I told the story back in February about our first son, Alex, being born on September 14th, 1994. Then 1 month later, October 14th, was mine and Sue's fifth wedding anniversary, and we went out with and left Alex with a sitter for the first time when he was 1 month old. And we just went out for a couple of hours. We got a sitter. Then we came right back home 2 hours later, and I was taking the babysitter home, and we got rear-ended by a guy. Got out of the car, and the guy was obviously very drunk. He just reeked of alcohol. And we were talking, and all of a sudden, he jumped in his car and took off. And so I jumped in my car, and the babysitter jumped in, and we followed this guy, and I got his license plate number and went to the police station and turned him in, because I thought, this guy is going to, you know, we're okay, but there's no telling what this guy is going to do, especially if he's running from me and a babysitter. And I didn't think any more about it. I was, you know, bummed that our rear bumper was dented in, but I got a call a few weeks later saying I had to come to court because this guy, the police had found him and they were charging him with a DUI, and this wasn't the first time he had run afoul of this obscure Michigan law that it's not cool to get drunk and run into people with your car. And so I had to go to court, and I thought, I'm going to show up, I'll tell my story, and then it'll be done, you know, no big deal. But I got there, and this guy's lawyer came at me hard, and she was really good. And I started feeling confused when she started questioning me, and she was saying, "So, Mr. Mathis, after this time when he allegedly ran into you, you said he smelled like alcohol. So apparently you're very familiar with the smell of alcohol. Tell me, how much do you drink?" And I'm going, "I don't actually drink at all." And then she said, "So now let me get this straight. You have a 1 month old baby at home and you're out on a date with the babysitter?" I said, "No, I was on a date with my wife." And that was the babysitter that stayed with our son while we went, and I was taking her home. And she said, "You date your wife?" Like that was the most ridiculous thing she had ever heard. And at this point, I was thinking, I'm just going to say as little as possible and try to get at her because this woman's getting me confused. She was accusing me of things, and I was going, "I don't think I did that." But the point is that she thought it was the craziest thing she ever heard that a man would take his wife on a date. It's like she had never heard of that. And my thought was, "You're a sad person, aren't you?" But I would imagine that in this room, most married folks, it's not that strange of an idea. It's something you think should be normal, and it's a good thing for husbands and wives to date, right? I would imagine most all of us think that way. But I would also imagine that most all of us would say we don't do it nearly as much as we think we ought to. Or as much as we want to. And it's something that we need to intentionally think about and intentionally put into practice. But like so many other things that we think they're good to do, we don't do them because life is busy and life is rushed, life is hectic, life is stressful, and we're in a hurry, and hurry destroys intimacy. And when we're in a hurry, we rush things and we make decisions that are not good. We talk about these times when we're hungry, angry, lonely, and tired, especially that we make decisions or we take actions without really making a decision. We just react, and then we end up with regrets. Again, I wish I had taken more time. I wish I had focused more on that thing, whatever it is. But we end up in our marriages sometimes weighing the value of our relationship based on that last rushed interaction. And we're not intentional about having good quality time together and having fun. You know, today's about remembering to slow down and pause and make time and space for what's important in our lives, and particularly spending time together as married couples, dating. Because dating esteems marriage as highly valuable. Prioritizing quality couple time, when you do that, when you, as a husband and wife, make time to spend good quality time together, the message that you send to your children, the message you send to your friends and your family, your coworkers, the message you send to the defense attorney is that I do this because marriage is important to me. I prioritize it. It makes a difference to me how my marriage goes. And dating is really about anticipation. It's planning something so that you have something to look forward to. It's about having fun, being adventurous, creating memories. It bonds you. It's what brought you together in the first place. Remember that? It's doing the kinds of things that you were doing when you were first building your relationship. But today, I'm really going to focus in the few minutes that I have on something that you can do when you're not on the date so that the date will actually be fun. And it's something that I talked about in February, and that is taking what I'll call a daily delay. It's taking about 15 minutes every day to put everything else aside and connect and talk. 15 minutes a day, a daily delay. Take time to connect on a regular basis. In Song of Songs chapter 1, we're going to look at be reminded of this lesson that we looked at from this Hebrew love poem. And I'm just going to read two verses here because we're short on time. And also, some of this stuff is pretty racy, you know, to read in church. But apparently it's okay, I guess, you know. Song of Songs 1, verse 14, it says, "My lover is to me a cluster of henna blossoms from the vineyards of En-Gedi." And then verse 17, "The beams of our house are cedars, our rafters are firs." That first reference there, "My lover to me is a cluster of henna blossoms from the vineyards of En-Gedi." What En-Gedi was an oasis in the desert. And this is talking, it says, our home, our relationship together is a place of refuge and a place of sustenance. In this desert that we live in, our home is a place where I come in out of the dry desert out there, and I come in, and that's a place where there's water. The word that's used there, it's lush. That's what our homes are to be like. And he says, "The beams of our house are cedars, our rafters are firs." It's talking about the home being strong. This is really talking about safety. That our home is a safe place, it's a refuge. It's a place where we can come home from the grind of the day, a retreat. We can unwind, a place where we can find rest and rejuvenation. Our home is an environment that's safe, a place where you can be who you are, a place where you don't have to try to be somebody else. As a spouse saying to your spouse, "I'm not going to try to make you be somebody you're not. You can be yourself with me. You're safe here. I want to share with you my secrets, my goals, my dreams. I want you to share with me your secrets, your goals, your dreams." And I'll listen. And I'll try to understand, and I'll try to validate, and I won't respond like, but the challenge, one of the big challenges, I think, is trying to get distraction-free time together. Kind of the old school picture of the distracted spouse is the man with the newspaper up, right? Does anybody still get a newspaper? I don't know, but we have, you know, there's something kind of cool and comforting about ink on paper, you know, for some of us. But we have so many distractions. There's the TV, there's the tablet, the phone, the computer, it goes on, and we're plugged in to all these things. I mean, distraction is seeming like normal. We have all kinds of rules at our house about like no phones at the table. Like when I was growing up, the phone was on the wall in the hall, the one phone in the house, the landline, you know, and it had a cord on it. And, you know, we got really high-tech when we got one of those long, curly kind of cords that you could go, like, 15 feet away from the place on the wall, you know? But now our phones sort of just grow out of our heads or from in front of our faces, and it's hard to get distraction-free time. So I know that what I'm saying sounds simple, and it's not, right? But saying, I value my relationship enough that I'm going to give my spouse my attention for 15 minutes a day. And that's the time that we can talk about what's on our hearts. We can talk about what's going on. We can talk about how we're feeling about our marriage, for one thing. Because, see, we all have, whether you want to have them or not, we all have expectations. We have expectations about everything. We have expectations about what marriage would be like. You know, when you're dating and on your wedding day, you think you know what marriage is going to be like. And you absolutely do not. Right? I'm not saying it's bad. I'm just saying it's a life change that you can't imagine until you do it. But a lot of times we have expectations for what marriage should be like. On the one end, here's our expectations. And on this side, then you've got reality, what it's actually like. And that space between there, between our expectations and between the reality, that's called stress. That's called tension. And whether you want to acknowledge it or not, most of us has some amount of tension and stress over our expectations and then the way things actually are. And that's okay, that's normal, but it's something you need to talk about. And you need to talk about it on a regular basis, or it will build up, and you build up. It's like you've got this big rubber band between the two, you know, and the more you ignore it, the more tension. And finally, sooner or later, that thing's going to pop. And you explode, and you say things that might be true, but probably won't be helpful. You ever do that? You know, you let things build up and you stuff things. And some of us are classic stuffers like me. And some people are more blurters. They just say whatever is on their mind. And that can be painful. It can be hurtful. But the thing is then, that's more like Sue. And everybody knew that already. I'm not saying anything that they didn't know. But then there's other people who are stuffers, and that's me. And so I don't say anything for a while. And then for a little longer while. And then pretty soon, it comes out. It comes out maybe in something I say or the way I look, the way I respond. But sooner or later, it's going to come out if you don't talk about it. It will come out. And then you have to have one of those big realignment talks in your relationship. But the thing is, we all need those. And the point is, if we want to value our relationship, and we want to have fun together, and we want to plan really cool dates and, you know, fun things and adventures together, you need to do those, you know. How many of you think it would be cool to do that like once a week? I won't ask you how many actually do that once a week, but it would be good. But the deal is, and here's one reason why maybe some of us don't do it as much, is because we don't have the 15 minutes a day of connection. And so all the stuff that you're feeling is all bottled up in there. And then you go to some really nice restaurant, some expensive place like Applebee's or something. And you... And you're going to have this great time, but you sit down and you look at each other, and what you start talking about is the budget or your kids' grades or just that thing you said that other time. You want to suck the life right out of a date? Talk about the budget. But if you never have, because we've all got budget and parenting and relationship and what you said that one time, we've all got that stuff. But if you never talk except on your dates are going to be terrible. So we want to encourage you to have fun. And I want to encourage me to have fun. But if you don't take time to connect and to talk about what's on your heart, with the one that you love, then all the planning in the world, and you know, no matter how nice that Applebee's is, it's not going to make up for not having a daily delay where you're taking time to share what's on your heart. But as we think about our expectations or our stresses, one of the things you might discover is that you're looking to your spouse to give you life. You're looking to your spouse to meet all of your needs and to give your life meaning. You're looking to your spouse as the source of life. And one of the most important things you can do is stop doing that and look to God as your one and only source of life. Take that pressure and that stress. Take that expectation off of your spouse. Because the way God made us, I believe, is that we look to God as the one and only source of life, and then we can give to each other from the overflow of that life that God gives us. And if we have that solid expectation, that will really take, you know, no matter how good your spouse is not good enough to be God. So we take that pressure off. Be real, be honest. Talk about your expectations. Discuss them in this 15 or 20 minutes a day. And decide, I'm no longer going to blame him for my unmet expectations. Decide, I'm no longer going to blame her for my unmet expectations. I'll talk about them. But I'm done with blaming. You decide to go first. You do it first. You may say, well, sounds kind of risky. How do I know if they'll do it back? You don't. That's not what it's about. It's about you going first. And I said, well, how long will I have to do that? Start with 15 minutes. Start with 15 minutes today. Sue just shared a really cool quote with me that she saw at some friend's house. It was a plaque on the wall that says, courage doesn't always roar. Sometimes courage is that quiet voice at the end of the day that says, I'll try again tomorrow. Let's summon that kind of courage to give priority to our spouses. From no matter where we are, to say, I want to dedicate myself to making my marriage a priority. I want the message to my kids, my family, my coworkers that I highly value marriage. Some of us may be in a place this morning where you feel like my marriage is so distant, so full of tension, that I can't imagine a date being fun right now. And I would say that most of us who have been married for a while have been there at one time or another. But what I would encourage you, if that's where you are right now, maybe just hit the pause button on the date thing and start with 15 minutes today. And do 15 minutes tomorrow. And, you know, this is not really a plan for a marriage that's in crisis, and you may need to seek marriage counseling from a professional. And just acknowledging that that's where you are and taking action is a really good and powerful thing. And I want to encourage you. We want to normalize that. Sometimes there's stigma with saying I had to go to marriage counseling, and we want to get rid of that kind of thinking, because there is great help available. Sue and I have been helped in years past by going and talking to somebody. We believe in it. So if that's where you are, I want to encourage you to take action. But if your marriage is not in crisis, I think this is a great plan for bringing fun back into your relationship and to help you to believe and to experience that you can enjoy your marriage, that you can have serious fun, that you can look to God as the source of life, but that you'll commit to prioritize and make connecting on a heart level with your spouse a daily occurrence. Let's go to God in prayer as we close out.